All right, welcome back. You're watching Yahoo Finance. We're just minutes away from the closing bell. We do have our guest coming up, Anu Gaga, Commonwealth Financial Network Global Investment Strategist. So as we head into the close, Anu, what are you keeping an eye on as you see this continued pressure from the Ukraine-Russia fallout and inflation continuing to weigh on markets today?
Yeah, thank you for having me today. So between the Fed trying to normalize monetary policy and the heightened tensions on Ukrainian borders, it feels like the market's caught between a rock and a hard place. But if you really zoom out a bit, things don't look quite as dire as it appears. So, you know, on the monetary policy front, even if the Fed starts to raise rates, we have to remember that they're raising rates from almost zero. And even if they go through with, you know, four or maybe a couple more rate hikes in 2022, we would still be below the 2019 pre-COVID levels when the Fed started to drop rates. And this is in response to an economy that is doing well. It has recovered from COVID, and now it is dealing with higher inflation. And then on the geopolitical front, war is not our base case scenario, but even if some kind of a face-off does happen, the most near-term impact would be on Russian assets, and we've already seen that. Russian equities are, in fact, the worst performing equities in the emerging markets space for the year-to-date period. In fact, they're down 16% for the last 3 months. But if history repeats or if it triumphs, then for most other stock and bond indexes, the geopolitical risk doesn't have much of a major impact.
Anu, I'm going to have you hold that thought, save all that good stuff for after the bell. We're just seconds away from the closing bell. Wanted to do a quick check of the markets before we head in. All three indices in the red. We're still seeing the Dow down more than 600 points. We're also seeing the S&P also near session lows, losing 2%. Closing bell.
All right, everyone, markets officially closed here on this Thursday, and it couldn't come quick enough for the Dow, the Nasdaq, and the S&P 500 as we closed near session lows. We'll see exactly where everything settled in just a moment. There, you're taking a live look at the New York Stock Exchange and the closing bell being rung there. Dow Jones Industrial Average closes down a little bit more than 600 points, 623 points to be exact there, 1.8% in negative territory. And we're also seeing where the S&P 500 closed. That closed down on the day more than 2%, 2.1% in negative territory, 94, 95-ish points to the downside there. And the Nasdaq composite, that closes down 407 points. And the largest decline on a percentage basis, that moved lower by 2.9% here in today's activity. Of course, these markets extremely volatile and reactive to international conflict as the U.S. and the White House, particularly President Biden, saying it is a very high possibility that Russia will invade Ukraine. And so we are keeping close tabs on that and anything that comes out of the region. The market's balancing quite a bit. We want to bring back in our panel and Anu Gaga, who has been standing by, Commonwealth Financial Network Global Investment Strategist. I want to give you a chance to finish your thought, but then also add on to what we've seen in the volatility. What is the outsized impact clearly at this point in time? Is it the Fed or is it the international conflict that we're seeing and how investors are trying to price that into the best of their ability?
Yeah, so markets have been more volatile in 2022 year to date. But if you look under the hood, there's more to the story. So what you're really seeing is sort of a rotation from sectors that have better inflation, that are not so great with inflation and higher rates versus sectors that have better inflation combating capabilities. So what you're seeing is energy and financials have outperformed, or they are in the green year to date, whereas you have sectors such as consumer discretionaries, technology, communication services, real estate. Those are the sectors that are down by a much wider margin.
We want to bring in one more member of our market panel this afternoon. Scott Schilady is RFD TV market specialist. And Scott, I'm wondering, as you take a look at today's market action, of course, really seeing a risk-off tone across markets, seeing treasury yields coming down as investors pile into these safe havens as well as gold, do you expect this to continue as long as we have these Russia-Ukraine tensions, or do you think this is just a momentary move on some headlines from today?
Well, I mean, I think that the Russian headlines cause a problem for inflation, because if it does happen, you're going to see oil rally. You'll see some other things, food rally. That's a problem. Inflation is going to be the issue, and how the Fed then ultimately tackles that issue, which could be exacerbated by a Russia-Ukraine problem. So this is the end of the story, is the market is telling you today, this is what it is, I think, simply put, the market's telling you today that they don't believe that the Fed can thread that needle. They don't believe that the Fed can surgically remove the inflation issue without hurting the rest of the economy. And I think that the market's going to be worried about that until they see the reactions after we get these first rate hikes. Now, whether it's 50, whether it's 25, who knows? But you know what? The Fed never acts as quickly as they do. And you know what? We've also heard some pretty good intel about a big trade that's been going through over the last 3 or 4 months about getting short oil and getting long the yields, or getting short bonds, right? And are getting long oil and short bonds. That's now starting to unwind. So you're starting to see people like this squeeze in the oil price higher. It gets exacerbated, obviously, by the Ukraine, but there's some shorts that need to leave that market. And a lot of folks got short the 10-year thinking that yields are going to rally, and it just hasn't worked out. So they might have to go buy them back. So we're seeing that unwind as well. So we've got a trade that's going through that's kind of being unwound. At the same time, we've got Ukraine adding to that misery, and the voters, which are the investors and the speculators, are telling us that they don't think that the Fed can thread that needle.
I'm wondering, as we take a look at the companies who have reported earnings so far, as inflation remains a key concern for investors, is there a common theme that you've been seeing between which companies or which sectors specifically have been able to most effectively offset rising prices and navigate through the inflationary pressures we've been seeing?
Is that to me?
That was to Anu. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I missed the first part. There was some problem with the audio. A lot of companies have been mentioning higher inflation and higher input costs. And of course, companies more in the consumer discretionary sectors, they have been, and more in the goods overall, they have been the ones that have.
It sounds like we're having some audio issues, so we'll try and get that squared away. We're taking a look at the sectors on the screen to see exactly where things had ended on today's activity. Scott, as we were continuing to parse through not just the sector activity, but more broadly these declines, it sounded like you might have had a response as well to that same question, if you can hear us.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, the things that are not doing poorly are the things that you have to do, right? The problem is you have to eat. There are some things you have to heat your home with. You have to somehow get to work. So, I mean, those sectors in the short term are going to be okay. But we have an issue here where right now the argument's not about inflation and what the Fed does. It's about inflation is about barn and can we reel it back in? That's the biggest issue. And so I'm in the camp, believe it or not. There's not a lot of people in this camp around my island with me, but I don't think the Fed can afford to do as many rate hikes as they think they can do for a number of reasons. Number one is we're going to get closer and closer to the midterms, and it will become politicized whether you want to believe it or not. It just does. And number two is the Fed will do something with rates and want to wait to see how that reacts, how everything relaxes. Does inflation actually come down? What does the market do? So this idea that we're going to raise 1% by July, or maybe 7 quarter-point basis hikes by the end of the year, I think we're going to really, really struggle with that, because I think the economy is not as good as everybody thinks it is. I think the Fed is going to, given the choice of destroying the economy and the housing market or letting inflation run a little hotter a little longer, I think the Fed will be with inflation a little hotter a little longer.